want your soul.
My best friend Blake and I grew up together. We met in the first grade and had been inseparable ever since. We rarely got into fights and we could tell each other anything. At least that's what I thought. After we graduated high school, I went off to college, but Blake preferred to go straight into the workforce. It was stupid of me, I know, but I dropped out of school after less than a month and returned home. Blake and I considered each other brothers for life, and that sentiment soon became a reality when Blake got married to my sister, Cassie. We could talk about anything with each other, and at some point, we got into a very dark conversation. It concerned what each of us would do if the other suddenly died. I told Blake that if I died, I wanted him to take care of my sister and the rest of my family as well. I wanted him to carry on in our budding plans to potentially start our own business in our town. Blake, however, had less ambitious thoughts. He simply requested that I spread his ashes off a cliff at sunrise. The only other thing he said was that he wanted me to destroy his porno collection that he kept stashed under a loose floorboard in his closet. He said he didn't want his mom or Cassie seeing how depraved he was. We laughed at it then. Little did I know that this was soon to become a reality, and this was no laughing matter. 2 months later, Blake was shot to death. He had been bringing groceries into the house when a drive-by occurred. Blake lost his life, and the police had no suspects. I broke down in tears and cried for hours after hearing about the passing of my best friend. He was truly a brother to me, and I knew my grief wouldn't go away easily. I was sitting on my couch a couple of days later, drinking whiskey from the bottle, when I suddenly remembered the conversation that we had had. Was he serious about the porn? Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, but my drunk, grieving mind decided to drive to his place. I hadn't been there since the shooting anyways. My sister wasn't home when I got there. I figured she was at work, but I had a key anyway. I tried not to reminisce about the good old days as I walked through the house. I went to Blake's room, threw all his shoes out of the closet, and found the loose floorboard. Huh? So he wasn't joking after all. I pulled out two small boxes full of magazines and videotapes. Dirty, outdated bastard, I thought, as I managed a sad chuckle. Didn't he know there was free porn on the internet and there was no use wasting money on this shit? I was beginning to carry the boxes towards the bedroom when, in my stupor, I stumbled. The boxes clattered on the floor and one of the magazines flipped open. The first thing I noticed was that the magazine was old and fading. Had Blake really kept these things that long from when we were kids? The second thing was that there was a Polaroid photo tucked in between the pages. I picked it up and looked closely at it. It was a close-up of a girl with tears running down her face and a bandana gagging her. What the fuck? Surely this was some kind of joke. The picture was dated to 2008. I flipped through the rest of the magazine and was greeted with more pictures of women in distress. One picture showed what looked like a woman's foot with two toes missing. I was horrified to say the least. Yeah, I probably should have called the police, but this was Blake right here. My easygoing best friend. Someone was surely trying to frame him by hiding these disgusting pictures in his porn stash. At least that's how I rationalized not calling the cops. I took it all back to my place and busted out an old dusty VCR and popped in one of the VHS tapes. The first thing that came up was a park. There was a woman in workout gear jogging around the track. She clearly didn't know that she was being recorded, as the person holding the camera was concealed in the bushes. This went on for several minutes before the video cut out and started again in a different setting. Now I could see the woman. She was completely naked and tied to a chair with a ball gag in her mouth. She was crying as the camera zoomed in on her face, and then I heard Blake's voice. "Hey, beautiful. You ready for a show?" he said. I ran up to the VCR and hit eject immediately. My mind was still trying to process what the fuck I had just seen. This had to have been a prank. One hell of a good posthumous trolling from Blake. I rifled through the porn stash again and found a flash drive. Knowing that I would probably regret it, I stuck it into my computer port. A list of 7 files came up. I clicked the first and was greeted with a grisly sight. The camera was circling a bed where a woman was bound by her ankles and wrists as she cried. The camera then turned to the door as another person entered the room. Though he was wearing a Red Bull mask and a satin red cape, I knew that body type and the skull tattoo on his chest. It was Blake. He had a whining sound and raised his hand, dropped a couple of roses on the bed as though he was a matador. I exited out of the video when he leaped into the bed with the girl. I stared at my computer for a long time after that, my thoughts spinning out of control. How could I not have known he was doing this? Was he kidnapping these girls? Had Blake ever shown any warning signs? Who were these women? And would any of them be able to be identified? Did he kill any of them? And if he did, was I now going to be an accessory to murder if, for some reason, I couldn't bring myself to incriminate my best friend? But the thing that I worried about the most concerned the last video that I had watched. It had been filmed in Blake's bedroom. Blake obviously hadn't been holding the camera during the weird bull routine. That meant that there was somebody else involved, someone else who knew about this porno stash. Blake was in my front yard, his skin sagged, completely riddled with bullet holes, blood pouring out of every wound like a multitude of red faucets. His eyes, full of pus, were fixed on my bedroom window. I could do nothing but watch as he glided forward and up the stairs of my front porch. The door was nothing to him. He passed right through it, and then drifted to my bedroom door. I could hear the screams of 50 women as his hand closed around my doorknob. "Dolph," he said. I jumped up, pulling the covers tighter to myself. I was confused for a moment until I realized my little sister Cassie was standing over me. Her eyes were puffy, her makeup a mess. Her black hair was tied back in a ponytail, and her arms were crossed as she looked at me. "Hey, Cass, what time is it?" I said. "It's almost midnight. I'm sorry to come by so late, but I haven't been able to sleep in that house, not without Blake," she said. The mention of his name suddenly reminded me of my nightmare, and of the nightmares on the videotapes downstairs by my TV. "I'm sorry, Cass. You can have my bed tonight if you want." "No, I'm not tired, to be honest. I just wanted to talk about Blake," she said, and sat down on the bed next to me and wiped her face with the back of her hands. "I just can't imagine anyone wanting to hurt him. He was the only person shot that day. Like, what are the chances? He didn't have any enemies, did he? Did he tell you anything?" she asked. I glanced swiftly at her. No, nothing at all. Though it wasn't a lie, I said it very quickly. I was almost positive I looked guilty as hell at this point. But Cassie seemed unperturbed by it. We talked a little bit longer about Blake before Cassie yawned. I insisted she get some sleep and left her in my bedroom, closing the door behind me. I grabbed a blanket and went down to my couch, but ended up tossing and turning for nearly an hour. I couldn't sleep. Not with those damn tapes and pictures nearby. Knowing damn well I had to be up early for Blake's wake ceremony in a few hours, I poured myself a bourbon and sat down in front of my computer again. If I was going to piece this thing together, figure out who the hell was involved in this with my best friend, I need to investigate. I knew the cops wouldn't give me any indication of suspects if I turned the evidence over. They would make it their own private investigation, but I needed to know more now. I wouldn't be able to rest until I did so. Something sketchy was really going on here. I plugged the USB in and took a swig of my drink before clicking the bull video, which was titled Matador. I won't go into explicit detail about what I saw, but this was definitely not a prank, and it was definitely not consensual. After he finished with the woman, Blake took a fireplace poker and began spearing her in the sides. Though I felt like I was slowly losing my humanity, I watched it until the final end. Blake then bowed his head, his hands pressed together in front of his face as though he was praying. "She is yours, Cuckoo Clan," Blake and another man's voice said in unison before the video cut out. What the fuck? This was getting more and more macabre by the minute. I moved on to the next file labeled Mermaid. There was a woman with another man who may have been her boyfriend or husband swimming at the beach. Though there were other people there too, the camera was zoomed in on them as they splashed around in the water. The camera then slowly zoomed out and turned to a man with long curly brown hair and tan skin. His eyes were covered by green sunglasses. He gave the camera a smirk and a thumbs up. "Now that's a nice piece of ass, ain't it, B?" "Nice indeed," was Blake's response. The video cut to that same beach, though now it was nighttime. The boyfriend from earlier was kneeling in the sand, blood dripping from his mouth and cuts on his face, and his girlfriend was crying. Hey, listen to me," said the curly-haired man, raising a knife and pointing it at the girl. "Listen, if you can hold your breath for 2 minutes in the water, I'll let you both go. But if you can't, well," he looked at the camera and laughed. "All right, you ready? No cheating. If you cheat, I'll cut your ear off and make you do it again," he said. I watched in absolute horror as the curly-haired man pushed the girl who was still in her bikini but bound at the wrist forward. Her face fell into the waves, and she began to convulse as she tried to stay under. Nearly 30 seconds passed before she pushed herself up to her knees, coughing and spitting out water. "Aw, come on, that wasn't even close," the curly-haired guy laughed. He walked up behind the boyfriend, who stared quietly at the ground. "Let me give Marty here some gills so he can show you how it's done." Once the killing was done, the man and Blake repeated the phrase using the same name, Cuckoo Clan, again. I would have looked it up, but I had nothing left in me. Those videos were literally life-draining. I just watched murders happen, and my best friend was involved with it. Cassie and I went to Blake's ceremony the next day. It was an open casket viewing, and the sight of Blake's friends and loved ones mourning was heartbreaking. I was finding it incredibly difficult to tear up myself, however. I knew that my friend was a killer, and probably a sex offender, too. If I should cry for anyone, it would be those poor women. Blake's father came up and hugged me. "It really means a lot seeing you here, Dolph. Blake was so lucky to have a friend like you," he said. "Thanks, Joe. I hate this is how we have to meet again. Blake and I had a lot of plans, but you raised him right, no doubt, sir," I said. I wondered if I would be struck by lightning at that moment. I spoke with Blake's mom and a couple of mutual friends from high school after that, and then Cassie came up. "Hey, Dolph, I want to introduce you to one of Blake's dearest friends and former co-worker, Zane. Zane, this is my brother and Blake's best friend since they were kids, Dolph." My voice caught in my throat before I could say hi. It was the curly-haired man from the video. He was holding a glass of water and his hair was longer, but it was definitely him. "What's wrong? Cat got your tongue?" he joked, and Cassie laughed. I managed to force an unconvincing one, too, before a friend or family member of Blake's I didn't recognize called Cassie away. Zane took a sip of his water as I tried to ponder ways I could walk away and possibly call the police right on the spot. "We can do this the easy way if you want, Dolph, or we can do it the hard way." The venom in his voice was subtle but deadly. "What are you talking about?" I asked. "Let's not play coy with each other. I know you have the tapes, and you know you have the tapes. I just want them back. They're mine." "Oh, the tapes. Right, right. Yeah, Blake told me about that." I already called the cops," I said. "No, you haven't," he took another swig, "and if you love your sister, you definitely won't call the fucking cops." I looked up and noticed the Cassie was nowhere in sight. "Don't get loud with me or she dies, and slowly too, another soul for the serpent," he said. I could feel my face turning red now. "What do you want?" I asked. "I just told you, I only want the tapes, and if you've watched them, really watched them, you know I'm not fucking around with you." He finished the water, put the cup on a table, and left the building. My sister's car was still in the parking lot when I went outside. Had they, whoever the hell they were, really taken her? I tried calling her again, but there was no response. I walked around the interior of the funeral home again before I allowed myself to believe it. That sick asshole who tortured and killed women with Blake now had my sister. I headed home, not sure exactly what I was supposed to do. Zane had left me no clues as to where I was supposed to go to bring him the tapes. I didn't even know who this guy was. Was he going to come to me? Did he know where I lived? I figured I would find out more once I got home. When I arrived, however, nothing seemed out of the ordinary. I knew then what I had to do. If I wanted to satisfy this psycho to get my sister back, I would have to look at the tapes. If he had assumed that I knew where to bring the evidence, then perhaps the location was somewhere on the tapes. At least I hope so. I plugged in the flash drive and tried to mentally prepare myself for round 3 of the Hell Diaries. There were 5 files left that I hadn't yet viewed. They were, in order, titled Jingle Bells, Hide and Seek, Cherry, Serpent, and Martyr. I sighed to myself and clicked on Hide and Seek. There was a young woman seemingly unharmed, yet understandably apprehensive, sitting in the grass in what looked like a heavily wooded area. "Okay, it's on. Go ahead and tell her the rules, Blake." The voice belonged to Zane, who was holding the camera. Blake walked up to the girl, a hammer in his hand, and knelt beside her. "It's simple. We'll count to 20. You can run as far as you want to and pick the best hiding place you can, sweetheart. If we don't find you, then keep going. If you make it back to the road or to the town, then you're one of the lucky ones. But if we find you, well, you get to sleep in the belly of the Cuckoo Clan tonight," he said. Then Blake whacked the woman's ankle with such ferocity that I could hear the bone crack. She wailed in anguish as Blake turned and closed his eyes. Zane likewise pointed the camera at the grass. "Better get going, honey. 1, 2, and he began counting. I'll spare you the rest, but obviously the girl didn't get far with a broken ankle. This video proved to be completely worthless, and I had no intention of watching Cherry or Serpent, because those sounded no better, though I figured I might have to watch it given the fact that Zane had mentioned serpents himself. I clicked on Martyr, and to my shock, Blake's face popped up immediately on screen. "Hey Dolph, if I know you, and I do, then you will have rifled through the porn and found, well, all this. At this point, there is nothing I can say to you that will change your views on me. I'm an animal, man. A monster. A complete and utter piece of shit. No, I'm worse than that. I'm scum. But I have and will always love you and your sister. Know that first and foremost. But let me go ahead and get straight to the point, bro. I've been a member of a local cult since I was 20 years old. I was recruited by the leader, a man named Ronald Wright, and I have been with them ever since," he explained. Blake glanced nervously behind himself and wiped his forehead before speaking again. "Call me crazy, say I've been brainwashed. Say whatever you want, man, but I truly believe in being that we worship. We all do. His name is Cuckoo Clan, and we appease his appetite the same way that his original followers did centuries ago. We offer him blood and souls. I really wish I could have told you about this while I was alive, Dolph, but it never really was an option. I was sworn by blood into secrecy a long time ago. And if I spoke to you about this while living, the repercussions on my loved ones, on the earth herself, would be dire. But if you are watching this, then I am speaking from the grave. Dolph, bro, please. Cassie wants to start a family, and I can't be a father doing what I'm doing." Blake licked his lips, and I could see tears in his blue eyes. "I chose you and your sister. I told Ronald that I'm done, and I couldn't keep doing this. I'd rather the serpent take my own soul at this point. They didn't like that, man. So this video is meant for you. My time is running out, and you must protect Cassie, in case they think my blood is not enough. In the temple where we congregate is a barn that belongs to Ronald. Remember the old ranch that we used to go to on field trips as kids? The one just outside of town? If you want to bust them, man, more power to you. But please don't show this video to the cops. There's more than enough evidence at the barn, I can guarantee you of that. I love you, man," he said. I had tears in my own eyes now. If I was going to save my sister, I had to be strong. Blake had just given me a lot of valuable information, but I still wasn't sure how the hell Cassie and I were going to survive this. They knew that I had watched the tapes, and who knew how many of these snake-worshipping assholes there really were. My phone then began ringing. They were calling from Cassie's phone. "Hello? Hey, Big D. You at home yet, big man?" Hearing Zane made me angry all over again. I clenched my fists and held my tongue. Yeah, I'm home." "Great. Gather up the shit, every single tape, and bring it to the old mill by the highway." "What?" That wasn't what Blake had said in the video. "Okay, yeah, I got it. The old mill," I replied quickly. "You have 30 minutes. After that, I'll send you a new video. And your sister will be the main star if I don't see you," he said. He hung up, and I looked at the box of nightmares. It was time to think of something fast. I approached the old mill slowly, carrying the box of nightmares in front of me as I surveyed my surroundings. The mill, long out of business, was slowly falling apart. It was mostly obscured from the highway due to the overgrowth around it. It was quiet out here, too quiet. I felt a chill that had nothing to do with the wind that had suddenly gusted up around me. "Stop right there," I heard a voice. I did as I was told, and I stopped dead in my tracks. The voice, rough and gravelly, had come from behind me. I turned around, but that turned out to be a mistake. I was struck in the face and fell to my knees, dropping the box of tapes. "I didn't say you could turn around, did I?" the voice said. I spat out blood and looked to see a very large old man wearing overalls and a dirty baseball cap. He was flanked by two other men whom I didn't recognize. The two of them carried pistols, while the big man seemed unarmed. "You're old Blake's lover, right?" he slurred and spit on the ground as the two other guys laughed. "We tried to get him to talk to you and to join in a long time ago, but he said you wasn't fit for killing. I guess he was right." "Where's my sister?" I demanded, remaining in my position in the grass. "Oh, you'll be seeing her soon enough," he said. I turned again and watched as Zane came forward, his brown eyes full of vicious glee. He was carrying lighter fluid. He stopped and knelt down, his palm upturned towards me. "Give me your phone and whatever else you shouldn't have on you right now," he said. I handed him my phone and he chucked it away. "You got anything else?" "No, I don't." "Gus," he said. The big man struck me on the back of the head and I saw stars for a few seconds. We're not going to lie to each other, Big D. I know a concealed weapon when I see one. Now give it to me. I reached into my waistband and pulled the butcher knife out. Zane tossed it too. No cameras today? I asked as my head rang like a cell phone. Oh, Mr. Funny Man. Nope, I was never into that. Yeah, videotapes and recordings were Blake's thing, and I don't plan on doing anything extracurricular with you anyway. That's for damn sure. Now, Big Ellis over here, though, I don't know. Big Ellis is a whole nother story, and you'll be meeting him soon enough at the temple. They don't call him Big for nothing, if you know what I mean. Gus and the other two cronies laughed stupidly, and I felt sick. So, why tell me to meet you here if we're supposed to be going somewhere else? I asked. Enough with the questions. I'm the one in charge here. But if you want to know, man, it's simple. I'm not keeping my eggs in one basket. I wasn't sure if you'd be dumb enough to bring the cops. You didn't, but I wasn't going to take any chances. Your sister's at the temple. And we're going to make a movie, all of us, and you'll get an exclusive viewing. It's going to be a hell of a show, he said. Gus seized me by my shoulders and lifted me to my feet as Zane poured the lighter fluid on the box of nightmares and set them ablaze with a match. His friends tied my wrists behind my back with rope. Then they pushed me forward. I followed Zane on foot until we made it to a van. They shoved me into it and Gus got into the driver's seat. Zane in the front passenger seat looked back at me, grinning. Tell me how you feel right now, Dolphy, he said. But I refused to play this game. Come on, man, talk to me. Loosen up. I wouldn't look at him. Instead, I glanced up at the rearview mirror. There was a silver pendant in the shape of a snake hanging from it, with small rubies for the eyes. Zane noticed me looking at it and smirked. I guess you might have heard of us using some mumbo-jumbo words or names you didn't recognize on those tapes, huh? You know anything about the ancient Mayans? He said. We hit a pothole and one of the guys sitting next to me shifted uncomfortably. His grip on the pistol was concernedly lax. No, I replied in monotone. Zane looked enthusiastic at the chance to explain his religious views. They were here on these Americas long before we were. They gave the gods what they wanted and what they have always wanted, in order for Earth to keep spinning and for us to keep living. One god in particular is of the utmost importance. His name is Kuku Clan. He is the snake god of old Chichen Itza. His people have largely forgotten about him, but there are a select few of us who persist, he explained. Blake, I got news for you. Your god isn't real. He's fake, I said. One of the guys in the van hit me upside my already aching head with his gun. I had hit a soft spot there. Oh, is that so? Well, I've seen him, Dolph, so you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. The way Zane said it with such certainty was enough to make my stomach turn. I glanced at the mirror again, then the snake, then out the window. Gus hocked a loogie and spat on the floor. Zane rolled his eyes before continuing his epithet. So consider yourself lucky, Dolph. You get to be a part of something far greater than any of us, for time eternal. I yawned. Zane flared up, his eyes widening, but then one of the guys spoke up. Calm down, Zane. We're almost there. Zane relaxed, but he kept his attention on me. You're right. I guess I can't truly scare a non-believer, can I? But I do know one way to get your attention, Big D. I'll let you in on a secret. Your friend Blake? He wasn't killed in a random shooting. No, it was justice, dealt out by his brothers. And I'm the one who shot him, Zane said. At that confession, I leapt into the front seat, headbutting Zane in the nose. I heard the two guys cocking their guns and Gus elbowed me in the stomach, knocking me onto the floor. Zane yelled out, blood gushing from his broken nose. That's for Blake, I hissed. Oh yeah? Well, this is for Kuku Clan, he shouted. He reached down and slashed me across the face with a huge knife. I cried out in pain as he then stabbed me in my exposed side. The blade was like cold fire inside of me. I kicked out, my feet connecting with Gus's face. The van then spun out of control and all I heard were screams before we hit a tree. One of the guys, who hadn't been wearing a seatbelt, was thrown with immense velocity through the windshield. Both airbags ejected, stunning Gus and Zane. The second guy was now the object of my attention. His gun had fallen to the floor and he and I both dove for it. Seeing as my wrists were bound, my efforts were fruitless. As he pointed the gun at me, however, I used my feet again, kicking his hands. There was a loud bang just as Gus was turning around to come and help subdue me. He then fell over to the floor, the top of his head gone. I kicked the shooter in the face, knocking him unconscious. I came to a halt when I saw that Zane now had a gun aimed on me. Get out of the fucking van, a voice said. but it wasn't Zane who was speaking. He turned slowly, looking out his window at Blake's father, Joe, who was standing with a gun of his own pointed at Zane's head. "And put the weapon down, too," he said. Zane did as he was told, keeping the gun aimed on him. Joe slid the open door of the van for me. I couldn't see out of my one eye due to the blood running in it, but I still glared at the scum that had killed my best friend. "For a murderer, you're not good at minding your surroundings. Joe has been trailing us the entire way," I panted. Zane laughed. "Bravo, kid. I gotta give it to you. But you do know that this means your sister's fucked, right? She'll be dead within the hour. I've already given instructions in case of emergency," he explained. "Oh, the cops got to the old barn about 20 minutes ago, if I'm not mistaken," said Joe. Zane looked afraid for the first time. "What? The barn? How would you know that?" "That doesn't matter. I'm sure the rest of your little sick clan is in handcuffs by now," I shot back. Zane licked the blood from his lips, his eyes closed. "No, I doubt it. We'd rather give our souls to the serpent than live like animals." Then he took off running. I knew that this is what he wanted, and Joe fired two shots, hitting him both times in the back. Zane fell to the grass, motionless. I was just beginning to relax when the other guy from the van jumped out, yowling like a cat, and Joe shot him in the chest, too. Zane hadn't been wrong, though. The cops had gotten to the barn pretty quickly after we called them. When the three men there, including their leader, Ronald Wright, realized what was going on, they had all slit their own throats. My sister, who was chained in a shed out back, was unharmed. In the days following, I learned that the authorities had unearthed the bodies of all the women killed on the property. Each crate containing the bodies also held remains of snakes. The only true documentation the cultists kept were strange calendars, which the authorities presumed were a guide as to how they did their killings. None of their names had ever been written down, as they used code names to protect their identities in case of discovery. Their killing spree included over 170 victims in four different states. The cops figured that the cult had come after Cassie and I, trying to rescue her, had been caught up and kidnapped as well. They never knew the anonymous tip about the barn had come from me, and so far, I don't think any evidence incriminating Blake has been found. I hope it stays that way. Yeah, he was a murderer, but he already died. His last request to me was to keep his legacy and his family clean. And all judgments aside, I think I can do that much for my best friend. And so, tonight, I'm going to burn his entire old porn collection. And it's going to go up in smoke, just like the ancient beliefs of that cult. It's the least I can do for my best friend and long-lost brother.